Matthew chapter 7. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets.
Well, good morning, New Hope Church. It's good to be with you guys this morning. If you're visiting with us today, my name is Matt Archer. I'm the teaching pastor here at New Hope. And if you're wondering why I'm coming to you via video this morning instead of in person, it's because my wife Shelly and I are currently in Alaska. We are on a land-sea cruise with Shelly's parents. It's kind of a bucket list item for them. And in all reality, it's probably a once-in-a-lifetime trip for us as well. So I really hope I'm having fun. But having said that, I'm still grateful for the opportunity to share with you guys this morning, even if it's by video. And we're going to wrap up our teaching on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This morning, we're going to go ahead and unpack the words that we just read up here on the screen a moment ago. So if you have a Bible and you want to follow along, you can turn to Matthew chapter 7 at this time. Matthew chapter 7. And this passage begins with probably the most well-known and most often quoted line from the Bible, "Do not judge." If there is one line from the Bible, one quote from Jesus that our culture is very familiar with, it's this one line right there, "Do not judge." You know, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Jesus said that. You know, don't judge my behaviors. You just worry about yourself. You just do you and let me do me and don't judge. And there's a lot of confusion, I think, about what Jesus actually meant when he said, "Do not judge." And we're gonna clear some of that up today. But before we do that, I want to go ahead and pray for us. So would you bow your heads and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather together this morning. Thank you for providing and preserving your word so that we might have the opportunity to learn from the words of Jesus. I just ask now that by the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, you would meet us here in this place, that you would give us a correct understanding, that we might be able to respond well to the challenge you have for us. Pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, before we jump back into the text this morning, I just want to remind you of what Jesus is really driving at in this part of the Sermon on the Mount. We started this whole series at the very end of chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about the wise and foolish builders, and he talks about us building our lives on the foundation of his word. And if we really believe what Jesus has to say, that we'll actually build our lives on his words. And here Jesus is teaching his disciples how to live in a right relationship with God. And according to Jesus, so much of our relationship with God is actually shaped by how we relate to one another, the way our lives intersect, the way we speak to and treat one another, the way we respond to each other. It all matters deeply in our relationship with God. So if you're the kind of person that likes to fall asleep early in the sermon, that's really the main point here. You can go ahead and rest easy. But for the rest of us, I just want you to keep that in mind as we walk through these 12 verses together. In verse 1, Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." The Greek word for judge that's used here is the word krino, which, like many words, has many different levels of meaning or different nuance. On one hand, the word krino means to discern, to decide between what is good and bad, what is right and wrong. In this case, then, Jesus could be saying that judging someone would simply mean evaluating their behavior in order to discern between right or wrong. But Jesus says we shouldn't do that. Or does he? Is that what Jesus is talking about? Let's say that you have a friend at work and your friend is spreading gossip about another coworker, and you don't think what your friend is doing is right. You know that they're not being fair to this other coworker and they're damaging their reputation. And you know that your friend eventually is going to end up with a reputation for themselves, and you don't want that to happen. And so what you want to do is you want to pull your friend aside, and with all good intentions, you want to tell them that you think what they're doing is wrong and that you think they need to do something different. They need to stop the gossip. But then you remember Jesus says, don't judge. Is that what Jesus is talking about here? That in our relationships with one another, we shouldn't try to discern between what is right and wrong behavior for anyone except for ourselves? That we should never attempt to correct anyone else's behavior, no matter how thoughtfully we go about it, no matter how pure our intentions, because we just can't judge. Is that what Jesus is saying? I don't think so. In fact, as you read the Bible, it becomes very clear that God does want us to be people who judge rightly. He wants us to be people who can judge for ourselves in regard to our own behavior as well as in the behavior of others. He wants us to be able to judge wisely between what is right and what is wrong, between what is good and what is sinful, between what is helpful and what is harmful. In short, he wants us to practice good judgment. And we'll actually see him say that in this passage in just a few verses. So instead, when Jesus says, do not judge, I think he's actually leaning into another nuance of the word krino, which means to condemn. Do not judge. Do not condemn. In this sense, krino is like a judge who sits in a courtroom and has the authority to give both the verdict, innocent or guilty, as well as to declare the sentence. It's the idea of final judgment, not just evaluating whether one's behavior is right or wrong, but deciding their ultimate fate or perhaps declaring their value or their worth. So when Jesus says, do not judge, his words could be translated into English as, do not be the judge. Or maybe even better, do not presume to be the judge. You see, Jesus doesn't want his followers making the final call about other people's worth or assuming we know all their intentions. And he certainly doesn't want us presuming to decide someone's eternal fate. Because that kind of judgment belongs to him and him alone. That kind of judgment is eternally beyond all of our pay grade, church. And when we presume to sit in the seat of the one true judge, Jesus says we actually bring judgment upon ourselves. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Now, Jesus could mean here that having a condemnatory attitude towards others will lead to people condemning us back, right? But I think he's alluding to God's final judgment. God holds each of us accountable for the way we treat other people, even down to our words, even down to our thoughts. So let me ask you this question, New Hope Church. How is it that you want to be judged? In verse 2, Jesus says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This was a common theme in Jesus' teaching. We see him communicate the same idea throughout the Gospels, that the measure you use towards others, God will use towards you. When he talks about forgiveness in Luke's Gospel, Jesus says, with the measure you forgive others, God will also forgive you. We see it in the way he talked about generosity. He said, if you are generous toward others, God will be generous to you. And now he says that the measure you use to judge others is the measure God will use in judging you. And you see, for most of us, we find it pretty easy to see the faults of others, and we're pretty quick to judge. At the same time, we tend to have selective blindness when it comes to our own shortcomings. Let me give an example of what I mean. Have you ever been driving down the highway, maybe over here on 690, and you're just cruising down, and all of a sudden somebody just blows past you, like so fast, like you didn't even see them sneaking up in your rearview mirror, and when they fly past you, it kind of scares you right out of your skin. Yeah, and now imagine just a mile or two down the road, you see that same person, and now a trooper's got them pulled over by the side of the road. What's going on in your head and in your heart in that moment? I know what's going on in my head and my heart. I'm thinking, yeah, they deserve it. That person's a moron. Like, they shouldn't even be driving. I hope they take your license. Get them, right? Now, have you ever been late? Have you ever been on the highway, been in a moment where you were running late for an appointment or a meeting and you're driving and you're trying to pass everyone, and no matter what lane you get in, it's the slow lane and you're constantly stuck behind the old lady in the 72 Dodge Dart and you're just like, how come nobody knows how to drive? And you look in the mirror, and now here comes a super trooper, and he's pulling you over. What's going on in your head and in your heart now? For me, I'm like, no way, you don't understand. I needed to get somewhere very important. I don't generally speed. I'm not that guy. I was trying to help somebody. It's different for me. Well, what's Jesus getting at here? We tend to have two ways of measuring things. For a lot of us, when it comes to measuring our own faults, we're like, no, come on, Jesus. Like, God, I mean, I was barely speeding. I wasn't even speeding. I was just going with the flow of traffic. If they all would have sped up just a little bit, right? You know, and normally, big picture, I'm a safe driver. I'm a responsible person. You see, when we look at ourselves, we tend to measure our faults this way. But all of a sudden, when it comes to looking at other people's thoughts, we're like, oh, let me count the ways, right? Let me count the ways. And so what Jesus is telling us is that we have two different ways of measuring things. Jesus says, for in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be used to measure you. So let me ask you again, New Hope Church, how do you want to be judged? What is the measure you would want God to use? Wouldn't you want God to be merciful to you? Wouldn't you want him to demonstrate a great deal of grace and understanding? Wouldn't you want him to use that measure when he considers your weaknesses and your faults and your propensity to wander? Jesus says, then consider the measure of grace and understanding that you demonstrate to other people. He continues to explain this in verse 3. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? For those of us who struggle with judging, and that's all of us, by the way, we tend to magnify the faults and failings of others. And at the same time, we minimize our own faults and imperfections. We have a blind spot. And Jesus says, yeah, that's because there's something in our eye, a giant plank. And instead of dealing with our own plank eye, first, we act like the more important task is trying to take the speck out of another person's eye. And we act like we're qualified to perform that operation. And Jesus says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus intentionally gives this ridiculously exaggerated example. But the more we think about it, the less exaggerated and ridiculous it becomes, right? Because we're reminded of our propensity to be hypocritical in judging others, and it reveals something about our character. Donald Hegner summarizes Jesus' point this way. He writes, it is the self-righteous, censorious person, read highly critical person, who is particularly eager to correct the faults of others. Anybody guilty? What is it about us that makes us so quick to minimize our own faults and magnify the faults of others? We downplay the impact of our mistakes, but when somebody else stumbles, we act like the consequences are catastrophic, and we feel the need to make sure everyone knows exactly where we stand. Why is that? If we're honest, church, I don't think it's usually because we're genuinely concerned about the other person's well-being. I don't think that's what's driving us. Now, listen, to be clear, Jesus isn't saying that we should never help others or that we should never confront others' sin. We should. He makes it clear in just a few verses from now. But too often, we use that as an excuse. We claim that we're just trying to help others, but actually, we're just judging. And the kind of judgment Jesus warns against here doesn't come from a humble, loving desire to see someone experience a better way. It actually comes from a much darker place. The belief that if I can highlight the failures of others, my sins won't seem so bad. If their sins are big, then my sins will look small. And church, that is self-righteousness at its worst. Jesus places a very high value on how we treat one another, on how we care for one another, encouraging each other, holding one another accountable, building each other up. These things are not optional in the Christian life. In fact, loving others well is one of the clearest expressions of our love for God. Let me say that again. Loving others well is one of the clearest expressions of our love for God. But Jesus also gave a strong caution. As you seek to encourage, as you seek to correct or guide others, don't neglect your own heart. Yeah, pursue the good of others. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Point those who are far from God toward the hope of the gospel. But remember, your first and most important work is your heart, your own heart. If you want to help someone else see clearly, you need to start by seeing clearly yourself. If you want to help them in their, with their spiritual blind spots, you need to first address what's clouding your vision. Don't begin by judging others. Begin by rightly examining your own heart. And that's how transformation happens, not just in them, but in you. Do you see? And then Jesus says something that at first glance feels like a total shift in direction. In verse 6, he says, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Wait, what? Where did the animals come from? What's Jesus talking about here? Well, remember what I said at the beginning. This whole section of the Sermon on the Mount is about how we live in right relationship with each other. And how we live in right relationship with each other is a big part of how we live in right relationship with God. And Jesus is showing us how to love and serve one another as he loved and served us. So with fellow believers, how do we do this? We encourage and we exhort one another to keep following after Jesus. And with those outside of the church, we love them, we serve them, and we point them to Christ with gentleness and respect. But sometimes, even when we do everything the right way, which granted probably isn't very often, but even if we do everything as close to the right way as we can, sometimes our efforts won't be received well. Some people won't see our love. They may misinterpret it as judgment. They may even accuse us of hypocrisy or hostility. They may respond with anger or rejection. So Jesus is still very much on topic here. He's reminding us to use wisdom and discernment, krino, to judge correctly. There are situations where even if you have the right motives, it may not be right or helpful to press in. Trying to remove the speck from someone's eye when they haven't invited us into that space can sometimes cause more harm than good. And this isn't Jesus changing the subject. It's actually him giving us another layer of guidance. Do you see? He's still teaching us how to walk in love, still showing us what it looks like to live in right relationship with others. And that continues into what he says next. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Now, I know that this is a set of verses that many of us really like as believers. Because I think we see this as a promise that if we will just pray diligently, then God promises to do for us whatever we ask. He will give us whatever we seek. He will open whatever door we knock on. But here's the thing. Whenever we read something in the Bible, we need to be sure to read it first and foremost in the context in which it was given. We like to take parts of the Bible and apply it to whatever area of our life it suits us best. But that's not how the Bible works. In this case, the context in which Jesus delivers this promise, and it is a promise, by the way, but the context in which Jesus delivers this promise is in the context of our relationships with others. As you seek to bless others, either within the church by edification and exhortation, or as you seek to bless those outside of the church by pointing them towards Jesus, how will you know the right time to do this? And how will you know the most effective way to going about doing this? Jesus says, ask God to show you. He says, seek his will in your relationship with others, not your own will. And boldly knock on the door, asking God to be the power source behind your efforts. See, this all has to do with the way we treat others. When you pray and ask God for wisdom and how to help someone else, he will typically do one of three things. In fact, I think he'll always do one of three things. Number one, he'll show you it's not the right time. That before you can help someone else with their speck, he wants to help you with a plank in your own eye or a stumbling block in your own path. Or number two, he'll help you discern that the person isn't ready or willing to receive your help yet, so you can avoid unnecessary hurt and know when to lovingly step back. Or number three, he'll open the door wide. He'll pour out mercy and grace and meet you in the moment, joining in your efforts to build up a brother or sister in Christ or to lovingly share the good news with a spiritually lost friend or family member or coworker. In all three cases, God promises to bless you if you go about it the right way. And the first work in that process is always the same. It always starts with examining our own heart first. Surrender your heart to him by walking in obedience. Let him develop your character. Let him shape you into a person of integrity. Always seek God's will in every situation, in each relationship. But always desire and ask for the greatest gift that God wants to give you, which is the transformation of your own heart and your own soul. His desire, church, is to sanctify you, to make you more and more like Jesus. Then Jesus concludes this same stream of thought, the same stream of teaching, with another well-known command. He says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." That's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have done unto you, right? And it all has to do with our relationships. Jesus says, don't judge others, right? But seek first God's will for you and allow him to put you in a place where you can help others. And as you interact with others, always remember to do to them what you would have done unto you. To use the measure towards them that you want God to use towards you. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up as we prepare to close our time this morning. And New Hope family, I want you to ruminate on this as we leave today. When Jesus was asked which commandment was the greatest in all the law and prophets, he didn't hesitate. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." But then he added, "And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And then he said something radical. He said that all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. If you truly want to love God, then love those who are made in his image. Show mercy rather than condemnation, church. Practice discernment instead of contempt. Extend empathy instead of jumping to assumptions. And if you're not sure how to do that in a particular relationship, if you feel stuck, Jesus says this. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Why? Because our God is a good father and he loves to give good gifts to his children. Listen, it's his desire to produce fruit in you. Jesus said as much. He wants to use you to bless others. He wants to draw people to himself through you. But before he does any of that, listen, before he does any of that, he wants you. He wants all of you. Surrendering your heart to him is your first and greatest work. And my prayer is that we would all step fully into that work starting today. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth and clarity of Jesus' words today. We confess that it is far too easy to take the seat of judgment, to assume other people's motives, and to assign worth based on our own limited understanding. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we've spoken condemnation instead of compassion, and when we've measured others by a standard we wouldn't want used on ourselves. Teach us, Holy Spirit, to be a people of mercy, people who love, people who restore, people who humbly acknowledge our own need for grace before pointing out the faults of others. Help us to depend on your wisdom rather than our own, and to treat every person as someone deeply loved by you. May we become more like Jesus, not just in what we believe, but in how we live and how we love. We ask that you would continue to shape our hearts so that we would reflect your justice, your mercy, your kindness in every relationship we have. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
We ask that you stand and join us for one more song.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great. And reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy.
Next week.